Going over to Mark Finnegan, live from the Open Day at Colossa Doolig. Over to you, Mark.
Thanks very much, Noel. As you say, we're here at the Open Day at Colossa Doolig. Lots of people here milling around, looking at all the different stalls and stands. And joining me to talk a little bit about the Open Day is Mary Hickey. Mary Hickey is the principal of the college here. Mary, welcome to Near FM.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you. Mary, great buzz around the place. It must be exciting every year when you put on this event to see the fresh faces coming through the door.
It's absolutely wonderful. We've obviously just finished our recruitment for this year. We're currently recruiting into part-time programs and back to education and that. But Open Day is, in many ways, it's lovely to see people coming in. But it's also a special day for our own students and the staff in the college, because we're spread over three campuses, and it's really nice to come together and show off what we're doing to each other and to the students who come in.
Absolutely, because, you know, you're looking around you, and from what I can see here, you know, you're looking at the different stalls and the different stands and different people. And, you know, even looking at the students who are representing the college at the stalls, they all look so enthused and so into what they're doing.
Yes, and it's great, because no matter if people out there are looking to do courses, there's one thing talking to me in management or talking to one of the tutors, and they'll give you a perspective and they'll tell you about the course and where it leads to. But the real proof of the pudding is when you talk to somebody that's on the course and they tell you about the course, especially for people maybe that are doing the Leaving Cert themselves or people out there. You know, you're talking to people that are in the same position as you were last year or the year before, and now they're into it, and they can give you a real realistic feel of what the course is like, what you will be doing, what subjects are involved, how it works, what the workload is like, all of that. It's really good.
I mean, you're talking there about, you know, kids doing Leaving Cert and looking to go into third level education, but you also offer courses here for people who, as you say, might be looking to upskill, back to work, retrain.
We have a rake of courses for people who are upskilling, retraining. I mean, and we're still recruiting. Obviously, the full-time post-Leaving Cert courses are finished now for this year. But at the minute, we are recruiting into back to education courses and things like barbering, lots in healthcare and childcare. There's a healthcare and a childcare course for anyone on unemployment benefits or starting immediately after the midterm on the 2nd of November. Just ring the college and make inquiries. We're also starting a course on personal presentation skills, and that will cover things like personal presentation, hair, makeup, all of that. And it's good, straightforward, confidence building course to get people out there into the labour market. And their part-time courses will be the order of about 12 hours per week, and you can keep all the benefits you have otherwise. We're recruiting to them immediately.
And, you know, you say there about, you know, personal presentations. There are probably things that people don't consider that you can go out and learn about, but they're as equally as important as having the computer skills or the languages or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, all of those, what we're really talking about, is things that build up your self-confidence. Because if you get as far as an interview, it's your personal presentation and your own inner confidence that's going to make all the difference of getting a job or not getting a job. For example, many of the stores in town are now looking to employ in the run-up to Christmas and beyond. And really, those jobs are open to anyone. But the proof of it is how you present yourself at interview. And obviously, going for those jobs, personal presentation and confidence is key. So I would think maybe start your part-time course now, and in a few weeks you will be able to take up part-time work, and who knows where to lead.
Absolutely, and you know, as you say, the boost of confidence can be the ultimate thing as well. The last thing I wanted is just looking around the room here, and as you say, you've been doing the Open Day for many years, but it's great to see younger people coming in, and older people as well, but do you find that sometimes when people come in, they're actually surprised to find what's available to them on their doorstep? They probably thought, oh, I didn't think I could do that here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's funny, sometimes you get the student in Leaving Cert coming in because they've heard through their guidance counsellor But then they go home and talk, and the parent comes in the following year. Like last night, we had a graduation of 300 students in the Helix, and I mean, just after it, the amount of parents that come up and say, "I'm interested in that," or "they would thank you." Yes, it's on your doorstep. We've all varieties of courses there, and I mean, just come in and talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you say, the message to anybody who might be listening now and thinking, or they might hear something they like, come on down. You're here till what, 3 o'clock?
We're here till 3 o'clock today. Come down to us. We'd be absolutely delighted to see you. And I mean, you know, I appreciate as well, you may be thinking of some course. It might be like a course in Collage Dooley, but it's good to explore all your options before you make your final decisions. Our guidance counsellors are here and available to sit down with anybody and talk, even if you haven't a clue what you want to do. Going to things like this will help you make up your mind.
Absolutely. As I say, looking around me here, I see interior design, I see hairdressing, I see outdoor adventure management. There's a wide range of opportunities here for anyone else to come along. Listen, Mary, thanks very much for talking to us today, and best of luck with the rest of the day.
You're welcome. Thank
you very much. Take care. That was Mary Hickey. She's the principal here in Collage de Doolig. Next up, I have Ciarán McNulty. Ciarán's the head of marketing here at Collage de Doolig.
That's right, Mark. Yeah, nice to meet you.
That's all right. I didn't know whether I called you the head of marketing. It was probably putting your neck on the block. Everyone's going, it's him.
I get to blame for most things anyway, so it's okay.
I mean, but regards to marketing, I mean, people would probably think, you know, a college, get people into it, is going to fail. People are looking to do courses, they're looking to go on to tour their level education. So the marketing of the job of the college is probably straightforward. Is it that straightforward, or is there a lot more to it?
I'd say there's a lot more to it than that, because you've a lot of competition out there. As well as that, then you're trying to keep up with what young people are engaging with these days. So we will be on Instagram, we've our Facebook page, we've our Twitter page, we try and keep our website updated and our blog page, and try and keep people coming to our website and our Facebook page. So, for example, we have a Facebook competition at the minute and a Twitter competition. So if you like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, you could win an iPad. So we have two iPads to give away. And that's coming up soon. So we'll have two lucky, happy people soon. Again, today, to get people to the open day, you can win an iPad mini on the day. So, no, it's not straightforward. You have to keep an eye on what competitors are doing. Again, you can feed in to with the principals and the deputy principals as to what you're hearing on the outside, as in what courses people are looking for as well. So it's constantly busy.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying that. I was saying, I can look down there and I can see outdoor adventure management. Is that a course that would have came about in the college through people saying, I'd love to learn how to do that? Or is it something where you sit down and say, you know, we should put on a course of that? Is it the feedback you get from the public or the skills where you say, that could be something we could look into?
Yeah, it's always a bit of both, actually. And the outdoor adventure management, that's our longest running course. So that's running for over 30 years now.
Yeah.
And it was the very first course that started here. And that would have been a group of teachers at the time who decided, hey, let's run this course.
Yeah.
And that's just gone from strength to strength. And really what we try and do is we listen to opinions from people on the outside, and we keep an eye on industry as well and on what employers are looking for as well. So we want to make sure that when people come here, they're doing something that's relevant. And when they leave here, then they're leaving here with skills that will either get them into employment or else that will get them into higher education. So a lot of our students would progress to second year of DCU or DIT or Trinity or, you know, higher education courses.
So it's a constant trend, I suppose, of looking, as you say, at what kids are looking to do, what people are looking to do, what needs are in the community, and then, you know, acting on it and maybe saying, look, maybe we could maybe introduce this or introduce that, and it's constant work doing that.
Exactly. And keeping an eye on future trends as well. So say, for example, at the minute then, we know that there's a lot of jobs coming up in construction. So we have a number of courses like architectural technology, we have renewable energy, we have two engineering courses. So it's putting these courses on and making sure that the local community know about these courses, because these are the courses that are going to be really, really popular in the next couple of years. And just making sure people know about them and they can then progress and they'll get employment from these courses then if they come and spend 1 or 2 years with us.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned construction there, because we all know the construction industry has gone through a huge crash, but now they say we're kind of on the way back, and construction in the next 10 years, 12, 15 years is probably going to boom again. So even people who have probably lost work in the construction industry 6, 7, 8 years ago, if they come in here, maybe get on the course, brings them up to date with the latest regs, latest building processes, everything else. So there's always something to learn.
Exactly, yes. I mean, if they come to us and say, for example, the renewable energy, what they'd be doing is, the latest regulations, they'd be doing the likes of installing solar panels, wind energy, sustainable housing, that kind of area. So, and that's where it's all going. So, for example, like government buildings now in Ireland by 2018 have to be self-sustained. So, you know, there is a need for people with these skills. And if you go, you know, if you go on to websites looking for, there is people looking for skills in these areas, you know, so you would get jobs in that area, yeah.
Absolutely. But Kieran, you know, it's always changing, and it's always moving, and constant job keeping her up to date and keeping people interested. So if people are listening in, they like what they hear, shout out the website, shout out the Twitter, shout out the Facebook before I let you know.
Okay, so our website is www.cdcfe.ie, or you can go to collagethedulic.ie. Our Twitter is @ColDulic, and our Facebook page is Collage Dulic College of Further Education.
Absolutely. And there's iPads and all up for grabs on there.
iPads up for grabs. We're going to give them away in the next week, and if they want to pop over today, they might win an iPad mini.
Excellent. Not one for everyone in the audience, though.
No, I'm afraid.
Ah, here I'm going home. Kieran, thanks very much for talking to us on the air.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
That was Kieran McNulty. He's Head of Marketing here at Collage Dulic. Joining me now, I have Michelle Phelan. Michelle is head of the General Art Department.
No, actually, I am coordinator of the Art and Design Portfolio Preparation Course.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
But that was a former role I had.
I couldn't even repeat back what you said to me, the head of the Art Department. It sounds like a lot of work. What exactly is involved in that?
Yeah, the Art and Design Portfolio Preparation Course is a one-year course. It's a FITAC Level 5. Students who come on our course are either coming direct from Leaving Cert, or they're older students, mature students, who have a real passion for art and design and who want to go to art college. So they want to test out over 1 year whether they like being in full-time art and design education. They get to try a lot of areas, from graphic design to fine art approaches to animation approaches. And then they can decide if they want to apply to third level colleges in January and February. At that point, then we continue with them throughout this kind of, I suppose you could call it a foundation year, and we take them up until May, and they have a full BTEC 5. So some of those students will go to MCAD, VIT, IADT, which is St. Leary College of Art and Design, and some will stay in Collège de Dulic and do our graphic design HNDs, or our animation course, or our fashion course. So I suppose I could say a bit about any of the art and design courses that we have. We're based down in the Ruhini campus.
Yeah.
We've loads of fantastic art and design courses. They range from the architectural design and technology for those who are interested in the kind of technological end of architecture. Our own course, the portfolio preparation. Graphic design, which is a 3-year course for anyone interested in logos, typography, other forms of design. I have a 2-year course in fashion, and this is the first year we've been running the level 6, which is the second year of the course. We've also got an interior design course, level 6, for those who are interested in designing spaces, rooms, furniture, lighting, etc.
Better keep everyone busy.
Yeah.
You know what I wondered about art, firstly, and you obviously know people go taking up an art course or whatever. There may be a perception among them, you know, ah, they're just going in to draw a few pictures or whatever, but art is a massively encompassing area. As you say, you've covered all kinds of areas there. But I was just talking to the principal here before we went on there, and when I was in secondary school, I used to argue a lot with my art teacher that you couldn't teach people art.
Yeah.
I think he used to think that I was saying you couldn't teach people to be artistic. It's not what I was saying.
Yeah.
Some people have a flair for X, Y, and Z, and I think that's what, you know, you're offering a wide range of stuff. So people think, you know, I'm not usually artistic, but they might have some sort of flair in them. Maybe they should come along anyway, because there might be something there for them.
Absolutely. I think there's no right or wrong way to do art or to do design. You come onto one of our courses and you have a chance to explore, to build confidence, to gain skills, design skills or art skills. And everybody has a slightly different approach to that. So I suppose what we try and do is facilitate all these differences. If we have, say, 44 portfolios at the end of the year, none of those portfolios will look the same.
Yeah.
They all have an individual stamp on them. And I think the staff in the art and design department across the board are kind of trying to engage with the students, see what they want to get out of the year and bring them through the basics, but also to let them develop in their own way as individuals, kind of, you know, for themselves personally and artistically. They gain a lot, I suppose, from their time in Colossus.
Yeah, because that's what I was trying to say. I mean, art is a unique thing to every individual. Nobody, as you say, is going to do the same thing. So, you know, for people who are listening who might have something inside them that they're just busting to get out, it's probably worth looking into maybe one of the cars, because, as you say, there may be something there that just sets them off.
Absolutely. And to also say that mature students are really welcome in the art and design department. Don't have to be 18 and just out of school to come to one of our courses. And to mention our craft course as well, which is a VCOS course, so it's a kind of funded scheme for adult learners. It's a two-year program that started last year. And it's a lovely course where they learn kind of printed textile, jewellery making and other design skills. And you're taken on your own, I suppose, whatever spot you're in, you go from there and you move forward. And we hope by the end of the year that people have gained a lot from being with the department, gained skills, and hopefully have found a direction where they want to go next, whether that's into any of the disciplines that I just mentioned, because there's a lot of them.
Okay, so if anybody's listening in and they're interested or they want to get involved, who do they contact you or the website?
What they do is they go onto the website, which is cdcfe.ie. You'll go onto the courses tab, drop down to find the art and design department. Loads of information on there about our courses. You can make an application from late November online. But if all of that sounds a bit too much and you want to just talk to somebody in the department, you can call our Raheny campus on 831-4677. And ask to speak to anyone in the art and design department, maybe related to a particular course. If it's portfolio preparation, myself, Michelle Phelan, be very happy to talk to you. But there's lots of staff there who talk to you about all the other courses, fashion, graphics, etc.
I could do with a bit of the interior design. I'm crap with a paintbrush. It's probably a bit of the interior design to do for me. Listen, Michelle, thanks for talking to us this morning on Ear FM. It's lovely to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on now, Noel. Joining me now, I have Dave Gregg, is it? Dave Gregg from the media department. How are you, Dave? Thanks for joining us on Near FM. Media department, that's kind of right up our alley here with Near FM.
Absolutely, yeah. We cover, I suppose I should say that the communication and media production course is probably one of the longer running courses in the country, let alone the college. I think it's certainly around 30 years old now, but it has gradually branched over the years into several other disciplines. We've been offering journalism for a while and film production. We've photography as well now as a specialism, and animation from another department joined us there a couple of years ago. So it's a very happy and homogenous department covering nearly all branches of media.
Yeah, I mean, again, talking to Michelle from the art department, when people hear art, they probably just have a concept of, you know, going in and painting a few pictures. And the same with media.
Yeah.
People probably think it's just, making television or sitting or writing the newspaper. But as you say, it's a massive canvas.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, you're not wrong. It does involve television, but, of course, television and sound with it as well. So we offer a lot of the background to sound production for film and television, for music production. You know, most angles are covered. We even do a little bit of computer game sound, since that's an emerging discipline. Journalism is what most people would expect. You know, it's leading people towards print media, but more so laterally into the more electronic and internet angles on journalism. Film production is not unlike the main media production course, but its emphasis is much more into fictional film, what people call films or movies. So that's really its angle. Animation is what you would expect. They cover every branch you can imagine, from, you know, hand-drawn to computer 2D, computer 3D. All angles are covered there.
What I'm thinking here with the time there is, down the years, you're teaching me, as you say, but I'm thinking of the progressions in technology, and as technology progresses, I suppose, more opportunities open up, as you say, you know, there's game and sounds. And I mean, people can make a movie online now. You can have a movie out in 2 days if you're good enough.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's been a great boon to us. I mean, the technological costs of running media courses, you know, 20 years ago were extremely high. That's not the case anymore. We still try and, you know, favour professional standard equipment, but the cost of equipping such courses are lower than they were, which means we get much better access to students. You know, we've more cameras to go around, we've more editing systems to go around. It doesn't seem that long ago when we'd one major edit suite. Now we have, I actually don't know, I think we have about 20. But the course keeps itself well connected with the technological changes and the technological opportunities. So we like to think we have most bases covered, but there's always stuff coming down the line. It's hard to predict.
It is. It's amazing now, you see, especially young kids. I mean, I have a nephew, he's only 4 years of age, and you put him on an iPad or on a mobile, and you're whiz, you know, yep. You're doing all this. And I suppose in 10 or 15 years' time, when them kids are coming through your doors, the advances in technology and what the opportunity that they're...
Absolutely. I mean, we would certainly find that students at least have an inkling of how a lot of the technology works and how to get the best out of it. We'll brush them up a little bit on that. I think the thing they don't have really is how to structure programs, how to assemble programs in a way that is easy for the consumer to consume. So a bit of training on structures and assembly is still significant in editing, not just techniques, but, you know, just good logical decision-making and so on. That's really where they get the benefits. The technology, as you say, it's widely accessible. And once it was the big impediment, you know, if you were interested in filmmaking, you had to do a course. Otherwise, you'd never get your hands near the necessary equipment. That's not the case anymore. So the courses more and more are really... driven by production values and techniques as opposed to equipment. The equipment it's all around us. Yeah. Everybody's got a movie camera in their pocket these days. It's
absolutely
probably their telephone.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I was just thinking that as well. I mean, you do the journalism degree, or is it the media degree in association with Near FM? How has that been working out for you?
Well, journalism has just kicked off this September, so... probably best to ask me in May, but I think it's going fine. The little feedback I hear, it all sounds it's going smoothly. The media degree is running, I think it's into its third year this year, and the last 2 years have run very, very well. Numerous competitions have been entered by and accepted by some of the student work from the degree programs. The animation course is also up and running with a degree. It's for graduates, graduated last May. There's another batch in now, and from what I can hear there, everything is going smoothly and well. So our relationship with Wolverhampton goes back a long, long time, probably back into the early 90s when a lot of our students did go over to Wolverhampton and study there for a year and got a top-up one-year degree, honours degree. That has followed on from the media production course into the film production course and into journalism. But just laterally, we've managed to finally get Wolverhampton to confer degrees in Dublin. They have been doing that for years in other countries, but finally we got an acceptance there after, I suppose, a long journey with Wolverhampton. But it's up and running. They seem happy. We're happy. The students are happy.
And so that's all you can really ask for. Listen, thanks so much for talking to us, and we wish you the best of luck. If people are... anyway, interested again in media or any sort of media, as you say, whether it be sound, yeah, whether it be filmmaking, whether it be graphic design, whatever.
All bases covered.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of information on our website. And if people are interested, you know, drop the college an email. They always end up in my inbox. And I will reply to anything or, you know, guide them where to get more information. We've open day every year. We've interviews two and sometimes three times a year. So getting onto the course is not that difficult. If you've got genuine interest,
yeah,
and maybe a little bit of experience, even if it's any school experience or a little bit of amateur experience, it's not that difficult. We'll take all comers.
Brilliant. Listen, Dave, thanks very much for talking to us this morning on Near FM.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That was Dave Gregg. He's from the media department here at Collage de Doolig. I have now Gosia.
Gosia, yeah.
Gosia. You're an interior design student. How long have you been here at Collage de Doolig?
It's my first year. Yeah, I'm doing level 6 interior design.
Just started in September, yeah?
Yes, starting in September.
Interior design, is it always been something you'd have wanted to do? It's always something you had a passion for?
Not really. I was really into craft and art, but I have a bachelor's degree in something completely else. But last year I was like, I wanted to change my life. So I started with interior design in FAS in Finglas, level 5, and now I'm doing like level 6.
So as once you started doing and you said you did the level 5 and you got the book then, and you came over here towards Colossi Doolig, were you surprised to get in when you came into Colossi Doolig to see the opportunity that was available for you with interior design?
Not surprised, because I had an idea how it looks like, but I was maybe like, because this year is more like into be creative and more like artist than like technical, so that was like a surprise for me, but like a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, and you, as you say, start of September is a 1 year course you're on,
and in Colossi Doolig is 1 year, yeah.
And what are your plans then when the course is over?
I would like to go to the IT to do a degree in that, because I'm really into it. It's like my passion now.
Your passion now. And then will we see on the telly in a few years doing something like Changing Rooms or these programs? Is that ultimately where you want to go?
I wish. Like, I would like to. Yeah, I'm doing that to be famous and great in that. So, yeah.
So if there's anybody out there listening on interior design or something they're passionate about, what would your advice be to them? Just come down to the college, have a look around?
Of course, yeah. We invite everyone to have a look, and they can look at our work. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Gosia?
Gosia, yeah.
Thanks very much for talking to us on Air FM this morning. We wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we'll get lots of people coming into you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much. Noel, I know I'm probably up against time. I just have one more person to talk to. I don't know who you are. What's your name?
It's Dave Curran, the head of journalism. How are you?
I should have known. There you are at the bottom of the page there, Dave. We were talking to the other day from media. I suppose the two departments probably...
The media department, which is over film, journalism, the communications and media production course, which David was speaking of, pretty much the oldest in the college. So there's kind of five different groups within that. Yeah, we're one of those. We're part of the media department.
Yeah, because journalism especially, I suppose now, we don't just rely on print media now. The news is getting out in so many different ways now. I mean, someone bangs a blog up on a social media site. It's construed as journalism now sometimes. So, again, the advent and the advances in technology have opened up the whole journalism world.
Yeah, well, like you know it. You're doing journalism right now. There's a movement called citizen journalism, right, which in some ways is the ability for people to be at the scene when instant news happens, probably before media can get there. So if you imagine something that happens in Coolock, you guys might take half an hour to get your kit together, get your outside broadcasting and get there. In that time, this stuff has been shared on, you know, Facebook, it's been shared on Twitter, people are there instantly. The problem with citizen journalism is it can be opinion-driven, and opinions are good, we all have them, but it mightn't be balanced, it mightn't give context, and it often sets the agenda for the discussion that takes place. So that's one of the big problems with citizen journalism for me, is that while the initial information can be reported really, really quickly, the context and balance within which it's reported will reflect the individual personality of the reporter, rather than traditional news values from somebody who would have been trained in journalism.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, I suppose, that people don't realise. As you say, they go onto social media, they bang up, this shop robbed by these fellas at this time, and, you know, 9 times out of 10 the reaction is, scumbags or whatever. And what people are putting, they're not putting up journalism, they're putting up gossip, and it's important that the line is drawn and people understand, and that's where the journalism course comes in.
Yeah, well, like, one of the things, and it's kind of very interesting, is a guy who runs a school in London called the School of Life at the minute, called Alain de Botton. He's a philosopher. And he speaks about kind of the possibility for national media now, like yourselves and like public service broadcasters, to create stories and create discussions that will get the general public speaking about stuff that is important. So to give you an example, most young men, or a lot of young men that get into journalism media courses now, will be interested in, say, football and sport. That's great. I love football and sport. I've been involved in football all my life. The problem is that when you're young and you have energy and you're still idealistic and you can still think the world can change, and maybe it can, most of these young men, or a significant chunk of these young men, talk about things like, is Messi better than Ronaldo? And they'll get passionate about it and they'll think about it, but at the same time, they're not thinking about things that are much more important to how our society functions. So how are communities dealing with the recession, right? Yeah. And, you know, how does politics work? Is our legal system fair? How come people from areas like within, which is the one we operate here, right, kind of areas that might suffer socioeconomically, how come society, 100 years old as our nation almost is, hasn't addressed the inequalities in society? Now, this is the responsibility of public service broadcasters. Local organisations like yourselves seem to do it better than them. If RTE decided not to focus on, say, sport for a whole year and just focus on educating the public about this, I would have young men in my class having passionate debates about how we change this rather than Messi and Ronaldo. And again, I've nothing against football, I'm just using that as an illustration. So there's this onus on people maybe to kind of, you know, I think on public service broadcasters and on people like yourselves and on tutors like me to change what the discussion is about, to talk about things that have more impact on the society within which we live.
Yeah. I suppose a big example of that, probably that most people listening in this area will be aware, I mean, last year and for a few months we had all kinds of stuff around water meters and the installation of water meters. And as you say, social media, Facebook was full of these stories and these videos and everything else. But it was all sensationalism. And as you say, it wasn't necessarily getting through to what really needed to be talked about, which was, you know, the need that Irish water, or the government was saying the need for Irish water was there. Is that a debate we need to have? Is there a better way for us to maybe deal with the problem we have with the water infrastructure in this country? So yeah, again, getting from the sensationalism to the truth is what you're looking for.
Yeah, and that's such an issue. What is the truth, right? So you have a media driven by interest who have financial involvement, obviously, with the installation of the water meters. Then you have a massive stuff, like you say, with these videos. And that's great, because balance is great. The problem is that I want people to help me make an informed decision. And journalism should be looking at both the sides and making a balanced opinion, right? That should be what it is. There was very little of that done in the national mainstream media. There were very few people, some like Nick Clifford were doing it, Fintan O'Toole had a go at it. But again, most people don't read the Irish Examiner. Most people don't read the Irish Times. Most people will have their agenda set by what's on the front page of tabloids, generally. And as a result, it's not as balanced as it should be. And we're all looking for leadership in whatever area of our lives it is. So when you take something like that, for me, you have two extremes, each pushing their own agenda, and very little look for balance. And in that issue, I'm not sure what the balance is. I tell you what I do know, is that no political party will ever name a tax again for the next 30 years. Because once you name it, it can be a tax.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, as a journalism tutor yourself, we're up against the most important thing in journalism. We're up against the deadline. And I'm afraid we have to go. But Dave, it's been great to talk to you. If people are passionate about what and listening to you, and you're full of passion and can hear it, if people are listening in to you, come on down, get in touch.
Absolutely. We have a 2-year H&D programme now, for the first time ever running degree in Coolock for journalism and broadcast journalism. And hopefully we can give a few students to people like yourselves. I know that the guys involved in RFM have been really, really helpful in relation to that. So for the first time ever, we now have the opportunity for people to get full level 8 degrees without leaving Coolock, which is brilliant for our students and brilliant for the area in general.
Absolutely. Listen, Dave Curran from the media department, a journalism course here in Killashadulic. Thanks very much.
A pleasure. Thanks very much.
There you go, Noel. That's about all I have. Sorry if I'm at the going a bit over on the time for you.
Okay.
Really, really busy here. Lots for people to see if they're listening in. Come on down. The guys are here till 3 o'clock. Okay. All kinds of courses.
Just to say hello and best wishes to David Gregg for me, will you? I know him well. He's a great bloke. David Gregg.
I will.
Thanks very much, Mark. Thanks a lot.
No bother, Noel. I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.